Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm the host of this great show. I am so proud to present live music in a day and age when live music is disappearing. Dave Leno had his first show of his 10 o'clock series, and he's cutting music out. He's only having it twice a week.
I don't like that.
No, I don't like that either. Should have it every night. Anyway, my guests today are True Apothecary, Part 3, featuring Sam Stoff and the main vocalist, David Brooks.
Hello.
So it's nice to see you guys in a jolly mood today.
It's good to be here.
The first session, I know you had just... You had actually finished up doing aerial wolf hunting,
yeah,
and you were a little burnt out.
I was way burnt out.
But it was great because people got to see the serious side of you.
Yeah.
So, one of the great things about the Beatles, I think, is they used to cut up all the time. And what's really nice now, since they have all that Beatles stuff, when I was a kid, you know, they didn't have the videos, they didn't have the documentaries, they didn't have any of that. And so it's really great to see them do their press conferences. Like, they'll say, you guys want to play a song? John Lennon goes, no money, no song.
Wow.
I mean, that guy was a character. He was a character. I love talking to you guys. It's interesting because you two and one of our camera people, Rita, are alumni of Mercy College.
Don't shake your head, Rita.
And you guys used to go there when I was a professor there, although I did not have either one of you in my class. But I'm impressed. I'm more impressed with Mercy College after meeting you guys than I was teaching there. So how was your experience there?
Go first?
Sure.
And I know you work there, so it better be positive.
Oh no, it's been great for me. It's been a blessing to work there, and go to school there. The music program is great. I went there knowing nothing about recording music, and now, you know, I can record full albums, great sounding albums.
He knows everything.
And I work there, and I'm going there for my master's right now, for an MBA. And so I think it's
cool. Oh, you're getting an MBA from there?
I am. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I met Dave there, so that was good.
Yeah, that was good.
There's a couple of people that I'm really, I mean, some of my best friends now I met there. So when you build relationships like that through school, you know, it's a good...
Did you ever live on campus?
I did.
Wow, that you're a rare breed.
I'm from Connecticut, so I would live here during the week and go home. Weekend.
That's the Dobbs Ferry campus.
That is the Dobbs Ferry. I only lived there for a year because it's Dobbs Ferry.
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. And I've taught at the Bronx campus, yeah, the Dobbs Ferry campus, the White Plains campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dorms at Dobbs Ferry, it's a very nice campus.
Right.
The dorms, you know, not what I expected.
They're there.
They're definitely there. I also lived on campus for a little while, and then ran away to an apartment.
Now, we were talking earlier in part two about how do you get an audience. To me, that is the number one concern, because as we spoke, you know, you want to play a club, you want to play a bar, you want to play a concert hall, and they're interested in selling usually liquor or food. And the best clubs have a reputation for great music. You can go play there, people like you, you're in. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people believe, a lot of club owners, usually people new to the business, believe that they hire the bands and the bands will fill their club. Now, I'm not saying they're completely wrong, but I believe that, you know, there's a lot of bands who have a big following who suck.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want them in my club if I owned them, if I owned the club. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's some really great bands who don't bring anybody, And I wouldn't want them in my club either, because how am I going to make money?
Yeah.
But what is your strategy for building an audience?
I think the most important thing, first of all, is to obviously have your product that's good, which I think we have down. Second, you need to have an internet presence, and you need to be constantly doing that. That needs to be another job of yours. You need to, every night, be adding friends and getting your music out there. And then the third thing is play shows in your area. You shouldn't go play a show in Boston when you're from New York. Go play one show off in Boston for no reason. You gotta, you know, do it in a circle, a spiral, if you will, from your location. You build up a fan base, and it'll grow out, hopefully, in a circle.
So before a gig, what do you do? Do you make phone calls? Do you send email? Do you have an email list? Do you post on Facebook?
There's always the obvious, you know, you let your friends know. And those people usually are most willing to come out and see you. It's if you have a MySpace, which we do, and you have a Facebook, then you post it on there. You send out invitations, you know, event invites. And there's always the flyer route, which I think
flyers are good too. Colleges.
Not a bad way to go.
I think the day of the show, you get a lot of phone calls too. Like, oh, I heard you were playing tonight. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I'm sending an invitation out to Westchester right now. Stay in front of your TV because these guys are gonna play within 5 seconds.
All right.
I'll grab the fire.
Thank you, sir. This one's called Promise. This one's called a favorite one.
Very nice.
Thank you. I think I lost your mic. No, I'm still there. All right. Any jingle bells?
This is our last one. It's called Pancakes.
Very, very nice. That last song, I could hear that on PLJ. I could hear that. The ripe production. Very, very nice, guys. Very impressive. Normally, I don't get to watch my own show. I've seen myself for enough years. But last Friday, it was raining, and my girlfriend and I were tired, so we didn't go out. We turned the show on, and it was the first show that you and I did, just you and me.
Nice.
At the end of the show, Karen turns to me. She goes, "Man, he's good looking."
Yes.
So, I mean, let's put it together. I love your guitar playing. I love the way you play in G position, but you move the capo up and down. I love the way you take little bits of chords to imply the chord. You're a great vocalist, great tunes. I mean, as long as you don't get, you know, hit by a car or something. Yeah, we got a big future and very, very nice accompaniment.
Good looking, but
I mean,
are you a drummer?
You're cute.
No, not really. I wish I would. Dave's only playing guitar for what, 2 years, right?
Yeah, like two.
He picked it up when he needed a guitar player, right?
For a past band. Really only, it's maybe probably been like more like 4 years, but yeah.
What is your main instrument?
Probably just singing. I mean, like, I started on keys, but, you know, it was just, like, me and a keyboard and no direction or, you know, no instruction, rather.
You never took piano lessons?
No. No, I mean, I took plenty of music theory in high school and then throughout college, so that forced me to play the piano even more. But my mother played piano and my grandmother and then her mother before her also played piano.
Did you have guitar lessons?
No, that's why I moved the capo around and played in the G position.
Now, you see, this took me so many years to figure out that the worst thing that can happen to musicians is to take formal lessons. And I will tell you why. Because if you took formal lessons, they would tell you not to play like that. They would tell you play full chords, play the chord this way, use the fingering that way. And I know you disagree, let me say it.
Yeah.
But to me, and I learned guitar and I tried to play it the way they taught me, but it basically ruined my hand. And now I've just gone back and I play it the wrong way and it sounds better.
Well, I think a healthy arrangement of just like you figuring it out on your own and then going back and getting formal instructions is probably a great way to go, because then that opens up a new doorway for you. It's like, I didn't know you can form chords like that. So, you know, instead of going, you know, from the get-go, this is the only way you can play your instrument, whether it be guitar, piano, or what have you, to kind of figure it out somewhat on your own and then at least have somebody show you, oh, you can also do this as well.
Have you had guitar lessons?
No, I have like chord books.
Right, well, that's just what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not walking the walk. You're talking the talk, but not walking the walk. You didn't go out and get guitar lessons after you started.
No, but for me, having like music theory lessons is another way to go about that. It teaches you can work outside of the key in a number of ways, which I would not have known had it not been for those courses.
I see what you're saying.
It ties back into Mercy College, where we were at.
What's your take on it, Sam?
My take is... I hated it. I took lessons like twice when I was about 12 years old, guitar lessons. Hated it. I felt the way you feel now. Like, it made me just no originality, just learning what other people had done before. I think once you figure out what you want to do on your guitar and if you're confident in your playing, you're going to experiment, you're going to figure out stuff on your own, and that's really cool. That's what I've done. But now, I'm playing guitar for 10 years, I think.
That's good, by the way.
I don't take lessons now, but I do get a little bit of instruction from friends that are guitar teachers, and they'll show you stuff, and it'll really improve your playing, like stuff that you already know how to play guitar really well, like I can play really well, but they'll show you something basic that'll be like, oh, okay, I never thought of it that way. So I think it's nice, once you know how to play, to go back and get their take on it. But I feel like a guitar player that only takes guitar lessons and learns the solos, and it's like they don't have any soul to it, you know.
I don't know if it's a matter of soul, but they're restricted. They're put
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of what you did is playing chords different ways that if you got instruction, you might not do. Very interesting. There's a guy in MySpace, Jeff Berlin, famous bass player. And he says, basically, if all you want to do is play rock music, do not take lessons. All the great rock players, no matter what they did, are self-taught. He says, if you want to play any other kind of music, jazz, funk, blah, 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 you're going to have to understand music. So, I'm a little talking out of both sides of my mouth. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming down.
Thank you for having us.
Fantastic. Good luck with you. And persevere.
Thank you, sir.
Good job, guys.
Very cool. I actually like that last song.